Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. This is Joe McGee. We're going through the Bible, book by book, in chronological order. It's a great trip and a great story. And I've had so many people write us and call us and say, man, I didn't know that. Because most people don't read the Bible in chronological order, as it happened. Because it's written the longest book to the shortest book. I tell people, you know, Genesis covers some 2,500 years of history. And so that's going down all the way to Jude, which is just like a blip on the radar. And so that's how it's been written. But that's not how it happened. So what we're trying to do here, going through the Bible as it happened, so it really makes a lot more sense. So we're picking up in Exodus chapter 30 today, and people say, what kind of Bible do you read? Well, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I really like this translation. So we're in chapter 30 of Exodus. It's plans for the incense altar. And so this is going to be really, really good. Plans for the incense altar. How are you going to build this thing? What are you going to do with it? So verse 1 of chapter 30 of Exodus. Then make another altar of acacia wood for burning incense. Make it 18 inches square, 36 inches high, with horns to corners carved from the same piece of wood as the altar itself. Overlay the top and sides and horns of the altar with pure gold. Run a gold molding around the entire altar. Make two gold rings and attach them on opposite sides of the altar. Blow the gold molding to hold the carrying poles. Make the poles of acacia wood. Overlay them with gold. Place the incense altar just outside the inner court that shields the Ark of the Covenant. In front of the Ark's cover, the place of atonement that covers the tablets, inscribed with the terms of the covenant, I will meet you there. So what's going to meet? What's going to meet? Where you just told he's going to meet. Every morning when Aaron maintains the lamps, he must burn fragrant incense on the altar. Each evening, when he lights the lamps, he must again burn incense in the Lord's presence. This must be done from generation to generation. Do not offer any unholy incense on this altar, or any burnt offerings, grain offerings, or liquid offerings. Once a year, Aaron must purify the altar by smearing its horns with blood from the offer made to purify the people of their sin. This will be a regular annual event from generation to generation, for this is the Lord's most holy altar. Verse 11, then the Lord spoke to Moses, whenever you take a census of the people, each man who's counted must pay a ransom for himself to the Lord. Then no plague will strike the people as you count them. Each person who's counted must give a small piece of silver as a sacred offering to the Lord. This payment is half a shekel based on the sanctuary shekel, which equals 20 guests. All who have reached their 20th birthday must give a sacred offering to the Lord. So this is everybody that's 20 years of age and up. When this offering is given to the Lord, purify your lives, making you right with him. The rich must not give more than the specified amount. The poor must not give less. Receive this ransom money from the Israelites. Use it for the care of the tabernacle. It will bring the Israelites to the Lord's attention, and it will purify your life. God's got a lot of detail in this. Verse 17, then the Lord said to Moses, make a bronze wash basin with a bronze stand. Place it between the tabernacle and the altar and fill it with water. Aaron and his sons will wash their hands and feet there. They must wash with water whenever they go into the tabernacle, appear before the Lord, when they approach the altar to burn up special gifts to the Lord, or they will die. Let me read that real slow. He said, they must wash their hands or wash with water before they go in the tabernacle to appear before the Lord. And when they approach the altar to burn their special gifts to the Lord, or they will die. This is not an option. This isn't trying to clean up because your hands are dirty or they're dusty. This is the thing before God. Must always wash their hands and feet or they will die. This is a permanent law for Aaron and his descendants to be observed from generation to generation. Then he's going to talk about the anointing oil. And we talked about this today. Then the Lord said to Moses, collect choice spices, 12.5 pounds of myrrh, 6.25 pounds of fragrant cinnamon, 6.25 pounds of fragrant calamus, 12.5 pounds of cassia, measured calamus by the weight of the sanctuary, shekel, and get 1 gallon of olive oil. Light, skilled marker, blend the ingredients, make a holy anointing oil. Use the sacred oil to anoint the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and all its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, the wash basin and its stand. Consecrate them. Make them absolutely holy. After this, whoever touches them will also be holy. Anoint Aaron and his sons also. Consecrate them to serve me as priests. And say to the people of Israel, this holy anointing oil is reserved for me from generation to generation. It must never be used to anoint anyone else. You must never make any blend like it for yourselves. It is holy. You must treat it as holy. Anyone who makes a blend like it or anoints someone other than the priest will be cut off from the community. It means you better not be smelling like you're not supposed to smell. That'd be a good way of putting it. Verse 34. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather fragrant spices, resin, droplets, mollusk, shell. Mix these fragrant spices with pure frankincense. Weigh it out in equal amounts. Use the usual amounts of incense marker to blend the spices together and sprinkle them. Salt, produce the holy incense. Grind some of the mixture into a very fine powder. Put it in front of the Ark of the Covenant, where I will meet with you in the tabernacle. You must treat this incense as most holy. Never use this formula to make incense for yourselves. It is reserved for the Lord. You must treat it as holy. Anyone who makes incense like this for personal use will be cut off from the community. Chapter 31, Craftsmen. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I have specifically chosen the son of Uri and the grandson of Hur of the tribe of Judah. I have filled them with the Spirit of God, giving them great wisdom, ability, and expertise of all kinds of crafts. And what does God say? You know, people say, well, they're just gifted. Yes, they are. People that have gifts. There are people that are gifted by God to do certain things. Here in the Old Testament, it said, I have filled them with the Spirit of God, giving them wisdom, great ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and carving wood. He is a master at every craft. I have personally anointed him in the tribe of Dan to be his assistant. Moreover, I have given special skill to all the gifted craftsmen so they can make all the things I've commanded you to make. The tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the arch cover, the place of atonement, the furnishings of the tabernacle, the utensils, the gold lampstands with all of its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offerings with all of its utensils, the wash basin, its stand, the beautiful stitched garments, the sacred garments of Aaron and the priests, the garments of the sons to wear as they minister, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense, and the holy place. These craftsmen must make everything as I have commanded you. So God doesn't give any, there's no way to mess up. I told you how to make it. I told you how much goes in everything, every bottle, the incense. Don't you duplicate this for any other use other than this right here. So the craftsman, he said, must make everything as I've commanded. Verse 12, the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Tell the people of Israel to be careful to keep my Sabbath day. For the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between me and you from generation to generation. It is given so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. You must keep the Sabbath day, for it is a holy day. It's a holy day for you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Anyone who works on that day must be cut off from the community. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day must be a Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. Anyone who works on the Sabbath must be put to death. Well, now, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I've been in church every time I think the door's open. My mom had me in church the week after I was born. We went every Sunday night, Wednesday night, training union, camp meeting, revival. We never missed. We were always there. And so I remember one Sunday afternoon, got home from church, had good lunch. Well, I went outside because I'm working swing shifts and first, second, third. So, you know, it's this long weekend. So I was off Sunday afternoon. Well, I went outside to mow my yard. In a small community and close to my parents. So I'm mowing my grass and a little old push mower, and all of a sudden, this truck comes whipping into my driveway. And my mom jumps out, and I thought, oh, my goodness, she's upset about something. I could tell she's upset, and she's running up to me. What are you doing? I said, what? So I turned the mower. What are you doing? I said, I'm mowing my grass. You don't mow on Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. I thought, what? You can't mow on Sunday. I thought, did I miss that scripture somewhere? Thou shalt not mow thy grass on the Lord's Day. Well, they're taking it from the covenant. And they have to understand, when Jesus died on the cross, in the temple, the veil behind which the ark sat was torn top to bottom. God was saying, no more bulls, no more sacrifices, no more offering. Every day's holy to God. Now, I still respect Sunday, and I preach every Sunday somewhere. On my local church would go on the Wednesday night. I believe in the local church. Jesus set up the local church. Do not despise the gathering yourselves together, especially in the last days. The Lord's return is approaching. So especially then, we need to be in church, listen to our pastor, volunteering, serving one another, teaching Sunday school, ushering, greeting, shaking hands. We're here to serve. Church is about serving other people. And so, there's some people still make a big deal. So, well, you can't work on the Sabbath. Well, you know, if you do, you're supposed to be killed. So how come we're not murdering people in our community? We had a lot of people working on Sundays, just kill them. Let's just shoot them dead. No, that's not what it means. This was under the old covenant. We are not under the old covenant. It was a great covenant, but it's been replaced by a new and better covenant. I still respect the Lord's Day, but there's nothing holy or unholy than any other day. All the days are holy to God. Every day is a good day with God. God orders our steps, directs our paths. You don't make fun of the Lord's Day, but this is not the Old Testament. There's some people who work, you know, my wife was working 10 hours a day when I married her, 6 days a week. She had one day off. And so it was not Sunday. She worked on Sunday. And so she's supporting two kids. Her husband's left her. She's trying to pay some bills. So, but she still loved God to this day. She serves me in ministry, got a great anointing in her life. So she didn't die. Nobody killed her, you know? So you have to learn the law was given for a reason. And I say it over and over again, no human ever kept the law. All the laws you go through, especially Leviticus and Deuteronomy, read all the laws. You'll do this, you don't do this, you do this, you don't do this, you do this, you don't do this, you do that. Well, the law's been done away with. Now, it's still wrong to kill, murder, and steal, and fornicate. It's just as bad as it's ever been. But what he said, you do what's right because it's right to do what's right. Not because there's a law about it. It's a heart issue. As a man thinks his heart, so is he. So we're in this new covenant. Why? You do what's right because it's right. You treat everybody with honor, whether they're Christian or not. You respect everybody. We pray for all those in authority every day, whether you voted for them or not. I pray for my president, my senator, my congressman, whether I voted for them or not. I'm to pray for all those in authority that I might live a quiet and peaceful life in all God's honesty. So what are you trying to do? I'm trying to be blessed. How do you do that? Do what God told me to do. Now, you tell people all the time, you know, God told Daniel to pray for Nebuchadnezzar. Well, Nebuchadnezzar had killed his mom, killed his dad, burnt down his house, killed his pet goat, and made him a slave. So while he's in captivity, God said, I need you to pray for Nebuchadnezzar. He's saying, the guy that killed my family, burnt down my house, made me a slave? Well, I pray a she-bear rip his head off. God says, no, wrong prayer. I need you to pray that he has a peaceful day. He said, you got to be kidding. Well, is he going to turn into a banjo, start winning people? No, he's going to turn to a billy goat and eat grass for 7 years. He's going to go stupid. But I need you to pray he has a peaceful day. Why? Well, if Nebuchadnezzar has a peaceful day, you're going to have a peaceful day. But if he doesn't have a peaceful day, you're probably coming home early. God, throughout history, has told people to always pray for those in authority. Why? That you might live a quiet and peaceful life. Well, I want to live a quiet and peaceful life, so I'm going to pray for my president, whether I voted for him or not. Pray for my Senator McConnell. Don't get caught up in that negative mouth. Well, they're going to hell in a handbasket and they're dumber than dirt and they're not going to mount the hill of beans. And I can't believe we got elected. I'll be glad we get them out. Shut your mouth off and do what God says. Pray for those in authority. Lord bless them best way you can. Send people across their path. Talk to them when they go to sleep. Talk to them when they wake up. Pray for those in authority. That's what we are commanded to do. Now, sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's what we're commanded to do. Otherwise, you're going to run your mouth till Jesus comes. And when you get to heaven, you're going to probably be disappointed because they're going to record. The Bible says, when I get to heaven, I'll give an account of every idle deed and every idle word. What? Yeah, I'll give an account of every idle word I've ever spoke or every idle word I've ever thought. They're recording angels. They record everything I think, everything I say, and everything I do. So the Bible says, think on these things, whatever's lovely, honest, just, praiseworthy, good report. Think on these things. Don't think on those things. For those things are trying to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So let's control what we think about. Control what you say. That's your yes be yes, your no be no, all that's perceived the evil one. That's pretty simple. And think before you speak. Is this going to bless somebody? No. Well, then keep it to yourself. Is this going to help somebody?